So the countdown is over this morning. After months of anticipation, Todd Zwillick, Prince William will wed Kate Middleton. How are you feeling this morning, Todd? Nervous?
Am I feeling a little bit British? I mean, this is as much a celebration as our love of Britishness as anything else, isn't it, Femi? I mean, you've got it in your blood, so I suppose you're already there.
I'm getting little tingles as I'm watching the TV, so deep down somewhere, there's a United Kingdom subject, but we're also going to be covering a lot of other news this morning, but we're going to start at Westminster Abbey. But tell us whether you hate or you love the royal wedding coverage. Our listeners have been calling in. Have a listen to this.
This is Laura from Troy, Michigan, and I am so excited for it. For me, I, although obviously never knew her, loved Princess Diana and her humanitarian work, and I can't wait to see that continued through William and Kate, and I wish them all the best, and I will be up at 4 in the morning watching the ceremony.
Good for you. Dial 8778, my take.
Big shoes to fill. With Princess Diana, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're watching just out the corner of our eyes as Catherine Middleton going right up to the top of Westminster Abbey aisle, and at the very top, it takes about 3 minutes for that walk to happen. And earlier this morning, Prince William and Prince Harry arrived at London's Westminster Abbey, and following them was the bride-to-be's mother and brother. And just moments ago, Her Majesty the Queen of England and her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, arrived in the 1,000-year-old Abbey. And then, of course, we've got Catherine Middleton now at the very top of that aisle, standing next to Prince William. And all of this morning, we'll be bringing you live updates from both sides of the pond. And we want to go to the BBC's Laura Lynn. She's at Buckingham Palace. And also the BBC's Paddy O'Connell. He's in the middle of London, the BBC Broadcasting House. Good morning to you both.
Hello.
Hi.
Laura, let's start with you because you've got a great vantage point. What's your headline for this morning so far?
What I have been amazed about is the incredible precision of this operation by the royal family. The way they've managed to get everybody off exactly on time, including the bride to the altar, especially at the moment that she was supposed to be here. And it's the capping off of what has been a tremendous public relations exercise for this royal family that knows it needs to work hard to reestablish itself as relevant and important and popular in this country.
And Laura, you've been covering the build-up to the royal wedding for the BBC's programme The World. What's the difference between the last few days and today in terms of the ratcheting up of expectations?
Well, you can definitely feel a different pulse inside the city. There are Union Jacks everywhere. There are huge crowds in the streets. There are people who are genuinely excited about and looking forward to this day. And I think there had been a bit of traditional British reserve up to this point, with some people scoffing at this idea of a royal wedding, some people saying it's inappropriate to be spending this amount of money when the country is in such fragile economic shape. But today, I think people feel that, hey, let's have a party for a day, let's feel good about ourselves, and let's send this couple on their way with their best good wishes.
Let me bring Paddy back in. Paddy, there are a couple of elements of this wedding that nobody knew until it really got started. What were the surprises so far?
Well, the dress of the bride. This is, I suppose, the traditional moment when every girl who gets married around the world wants to look her best. And that's the human aspect of this giant state occasion, which it really is in many ways, the bringing together of a very private event with the most public you can possibly imagine. And I suppose she looks very timeless. She's gone for a look that you would perhaps, if you squinted, you'd think it was a sort of Grace Kelly creation. It's a very slim Chantilly lace with a diamond tiara. She's also wearing a veil, a full veil, but it's a modest train. She looks tall, and I see a slight tremor in her hands, and I'm amazed it's only a slight one. So that was a surprise, and it was kept, the staff at the hotel where she was staying round the corner from Buckingham Palace kept the secret too. They erected a small white awning so that the moment when the dress would be seen would be at the Abbey itself.
And just can I jump in, and just because you're doing a great job of fashion commentary, Paddy, that what they also managed to keep a secret up until the last minute was the designer of the gown, and they went for a British designer, Sarah Burton of Alexander McQueen.
Now, I had heard that name quoted, so whoever put a bet on that got that right. Let's not leave out Prince William. What's Prince William wearing?
Laura, you've had a look at him in the flesh, and obviously wearing his uniform.
He did flash right by me in his car on the way there. Yes, he is in full military uniform, as is his brother, his best man, Prince Harry. There was some discussion of whether it would be morning suits instead of military uniform, but that's what they have gone for, and William pinned one medal pinned to his chest. Harry, a few more for his time that he served in Afghanistan. So they have chosen to go the same route as their father. When he got married, Prince Charles, he also wore a military uniform.
And the Queen is wearing primrose yellow this morning.
And the mother of the bride is wearing what?
Laura?
Oh, Patty, we're having a good time here. I would say from what I saw, it was kind of a grey aqua colour, a very simple overcoat with, of course, a hat, as are many women in the crowd wearing hats, except for, I might add, the Prime Minister's wife, who broke with tradition by not wearing a hat. These are important points of protocol and style.
Oh, that's a major British tabloid headline. Listen, Laura Lynch, who's at Buckingham Palace, and Paddy O'Connell, who's reporting from the BBC for us today. Stay put, we're going to be coming back to you, but I also want to take our listeners to Greenwich Village in New York for a street party. Kristen Meinzer, who's our royal correspondent from The Takeaway. Good morning. How's it looking out there?
Good morning. It's so nice to be on with you, Femi.
Set the scene. It's 6 a.m., or just after 6 a.m. local time in New York. Who could possibly be partying at that ungodly hour of the morning?
Oh, there are tons of people out here, Femi. There are, one of the greatest people I've run into is a man who brought his 5-year-old daughter, who he calls Princess Diana, in full costume. We have fans from all over the world. We have press, including those from Al Jazeera, from the London Express, from the New York, various outlets. So it's a good festive time with a lot of people in costume out here.
Now, when's the last time you ever went to a royal British street party?
I'm sorry, Femi, it's a little loud. What did you say?
When was the last time you went to a good old-fashioned British street party?
Not since I lived in London back when I was 20. That was many, many years ago. Princess Di was still alive back then, and it was a street party for the anniversary of BE Day, and that was quite festive, and I'm sure this will soon turn into a very, very, very festive day like that as well.
Okay, so Kristen Meinzer, your assignment is to bring us somebody from that street party in just a little while. But in the meantime, we go back to Westminster Abbey. The coverage for the royal wedding continues.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.